Hey, what's up, Street Talks? Aircom from the Aircom Street Photography Blog. Another beautiful day in Providence, Rhode Island, which I consider the most beautiful city in America and my new favorite city in America. All right, so I want to share with you some practical turbo thoughts on just life in general. All right, so this is the basic first idea. The point of life isn't to live the maximally painless life, it's to live the maximally epic life. So I think there's a lot of modern philosophy and lines of thinking where it's like kind of a combination of nihilism, like the philosophy that nothing's meaningful and therefore nothing's worth doing, a combination of, you know, people being stuck inside boxes all day, you know, metaphorically and also physically. And now that most people are not like really religious, so a lot of people are atheists, then they fall into the trap of nihilism. Is like, okay, if there's no afterlife, there's no God, there's no heaven or hell, you know, once I'm dead, I'm dead. What's the point of life? It's to maximize my pleasure and to minimize my pain. Now, I think this is kind of a weird way to think about life, because I think life is actually so much more than that. I think life is, it's much more about maximizing your own personal potential and not being afraid of pain and not trying to make the point of your life to get rid of all forms of pain, but it's trying to like maybe seek the good pain. And when I say good pain, I mean this. Not all pain is created alike. There's good pain, there's bad pain. So for example, you know, if I tear my rotator cuff at the gym, that's a bad pain. It means that my body's gone weaker and it longer has the ability to lift heavy weights and stuff like that. That's bad for me. However, there are forms of good pain. So like, let's say the other day I deadlift 445 pounds and then I lift it, form is perfect, everything looks good. And then that evening or the day after, I'm sore like a motherfucker. So that's a good pain. It means that I pushed my body to the limit and my body was able to handle it. And now the pain I'm feeling is kind of the accompanying sensation that somehow my body is like kind of recuperating and augmenting itself. And, you know, I think what they call it like super compensation, right? Is that like before you lift weights, you're here. Then you lift weights, you technically quote-unquote damage your muscles a little bit. And then the period afterwards, you become a little bit stronger. And so I think this is almost could be applied to all aspects of life, is that pain is not to be avoided. What we want to avoid is the bullshit pain, like pain that we don't really care for and like, you know, like toxic pain that's not necessary. So for example, you know, a lot of people got family dramas and I know I got my own too. And so like, you know, if you find there's like certain toxic individuals in your life, you just kind of got to be ruthless and cut that out. That's like the same thing I did with my dad, just all bad vibes, toxic energies, and, you know, got rid of him, stopped contacting him, communicating with him, and my life's been a trillion times better. And once again, I don't think pain is to be avoided for the sake of pain, because then otherwise we would just become like the Wall-E people, right? A bunch of little fatzos, like on our little lazy boy hover thing and never have to lift a finger in our eyes. And actually, I think with human achievement, pain is perhaps what makes it so pleasurable. So for example, if you're a dude who's hiking Mount Everest, right? All that pain and suffering and difficulty and the overcoming and then finally making it to the top, that's like the fucking best euphoria you could probably feel, right? Versus the dude who's like in a helicopter, in a heated air helicopter who flies to the top, sees the view. I mean, it'll still be a good view and, you know, I'm sure they'll appreciate it, but you're not gonna get that same sort of pleasure and that same sort of, you know, sense of accomplishment as the guy who had to do all the suffering. And once again, I think this is tricky because it's not suffering for the sake of suffering's sake, because I think kind of Christian morality kind of has this like, you know, you need to take a whip and just kind of like self-flagellate yourself in order to feel some sort of worthiness in life, which I think is quite morbid and grotesque. But I think it's more of like the good struggle. It's like the productive struggle. It's the fulfilling struggle where you're kind of pushing yourself to the max to achieve a different level of whatever you want to achieve. And know that pain is just kind of like a necessary ingredient as part of this game. And pain is not to be avoided for the sake of avoiding pain. And so, you know, even with you know, personal relationships, right? Or just kind of like trauma in life, is that there's the famous Nietzsche quote, like, that which doesn't kill me makes me stronger. And it's pretty accurate, is that you go through life and there are certain things that happen to you that test your strength, test your willpower, and kind of beat you up really badly, and you know, you didn't die and you survived. And then after that, there's a period of supercompensation where your body becomes more resilient, your mind becomes more resilient. And even for me, like, I'm actually kind of grateful of all the trauma and all the pain and suffering I suffered as a kid, because it made me not so afraid of the world. Like, even my mom, I think she went through bankruptcy twice. Ever since I saw my mom go through bankruptcy, it made me less afraid of, like, failure. Or, you know, like, I think if you grew up, if you grew up in a nice middle-class family or rich family or whatever, or upper-middle-class family, I think a lot more people are afraid of, like, financial ruin because they've never experienced it. But, you know, I saw it happen to my mom. You know, dad gambled away the rent money, and, you know, we essentially got kicked out of our house and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously it was bad, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. And, you know, my mom had a lot of support, able to get back on her feet. And so perhaps that kind of made me a little bit less risk-averse, is that it made me more risky and challenging. And you know, I'm kind of grateful for all of that. Like, even sometimes my mom's like, you know, she feels bad. She's like, oh, you know, I wish I could have gave you more as a kid, da da da. But actually, because she couldn't give me much, that actually ended up being the biggest benefit, because I had to fight for everything I wanted. And that's what gave me the entrepreneurial spirit that, you know, I so desired and longed for. Sorry if the autofocus is wrong. I don't know how to do this. All right. So anyways, to continue. Because my mom didn't have money, and I knew that she wasn't just, like, not giving me money because she was not, you know, whatever. It was more like I knew that she didn't have the money, and I had to kind of rely on myself, and I had to work for what I wanted and fight for what I wanted. And, you know, this is a good thing for as a kid, because it's extremely liberating, and it kind of gets rid of a lot of the bullshit in your life. So, for example, like, one thing even to this day kind of makes no sense to me, right? I remember I was like 15 years old and I wanted a car, and, you know, tell my mom, say, oh, you know, can you ask around? I kind of want a car, da da da. And, you know, my mom was able to talk to her mechanic friend, Kevin, in Oakland. And, you know, he hooked it up with a 1991 Sentra XE four-door sedan, 5-speed manual transmission. And, you know, bought it with my hard-earned money for $1,000. And as a kid, holy moly, I'm like 15, right? This is like the most rewarding, great feeling, sensation ever, is that, like, I fucking worked for it and I paid with this for my own money. And there's such a huge sense of pride that comes with this, which I find is amazing, right? This is like the best sensation. Versus, like, let's say, you know, I just grew up as a spoiled kid. You know, my mom buys me a Lambo. You know, obviously it'd probably be awesome, but, like, in terms of your actual pleasure maximization, because you didn't actually have to work for it, you don't actually appreciate it as much. And so, you know, this is actually the irony in life, is, you know, and I think this is actually why, like, you know, in some ways, like, you know, porn is a little bit boring, is that, like, you don't gotta fight for it. You know, you click a few buttons, you do your thing, and then bada bing, bada boom, you're done, right? Whereas, like, you know, and I think this is where a lot of, you know, people, like, kind of, you know, the hunt, right? Or the conquest, or the difficulty of things, right? Is that, like, when you're trying to court somebody, if it's too easy, it's not interesting, right? We're kind of like a cat in a ball. We like to play in order to get whatever you want. And so I think that's why in life we actually like difficult things. We like difficult challenges, and we like to be pushed to the limit. And I think it's tricky, because you want to choose challenges and difficulties which are still, like, achievable, like, within the realm of possibilities. Like, you know, you don't want to have goals which are so outside of your sphere of competence that it's not possible. It's a goal that's still possible given enough training, enough practice, enough effort. Same thing with, like, video games, right? You know, when you're playing a video game, you want to play it at the difficulty where it's difficult enough that you actually might die, but not so difficult that it's not achievable. And so, for example, you know, if you're playing, like, Diablo or Warcraft or World of Warcraft, whatever, you want to choose a difficulty where there still is a risk of dying and losing, and that's kind of what makes life thrilling. And maybe that's why a lot of people who are adrenaline junkies like doing what they do, is that like there is a small possibility of death, like the guy who does the rock climbing without the harnesses, right? Is that, you know, obviously it's scary because, you know, he might die if he fucks up, right? But assuming he doesn't slip up his training, he actually won't die because he won't fuck up, because it's still within his grasp of dying or not dying, right? And so I think in life, it's best for us to pursue certain challenges and goals which are still within our grasp, which are still in the realm of a possibility, which are still achievable, given enough training, enough courage, and stuff like that. And I really don't like to pursue things in life where I feel like I don't have 100% control of the goals. Like, you know, for example, this is why I like powerlifting so much, is that I don't go into powerlifting competitions because I don't really care about how much other people could lift. I'm more interested in just seeing how much I could lift. And it's great because all of the factors are in my power, right? Like, there's the weights on the ground, no external factors. When I lift a weight, it's 100% me, nobody else. And if I fuck up, or if I don't do it, or if I fail, I can't blame nobody else but myself. And it's not even blame myself. It's like, okay, I'm not strong enough. That's cool. Take a few days off, eat some more meat, and try again. Whereas, like, you play other sports, like, let's say you play football or basketball or whatever. If some of your other teammates kind of fuck up, it's not really on you, and it kind of still kind of sucks. And I think maybe that's why a lot of people also like, you know, tennis, because, you know, assuming you play singles or even doubles, probably more singles, is that it's a game where it's 100% your skills fighting against an opponent, or like, you know, boxing or MMA or whatever. But still, even these competitions, I don't really like it because, you know, I'm not really interested in competing with others. I'm only interested in competing against myself. So that's why it's fun to compete against yourself, to set new PRs, which are personal records. Because, like, you know, I don't care that the guy in the gym could deadlift 700 pounds and I can't. It's like, I don't care. Like, you know, that's cool. Like, you inspire me. That's awesome. But I'm more interested in taking myself to the personal limit. So I'm only competing against myself, which I think is the best competition. And so week over week, I'm trying to get stronger, attempt more and whatever, and perhaps year over year to infinitely scale up my gains and stuff like that. And this is actually where photography, blogging, vlogging, entrepreneurship is kind of fun too, because there are no gatekeepers, right? Like, I could make a video about not anything like I'm doing right now, and, you know, I don't have a producer or an editor or somebody who's like, you could produce that, you can't produce it. No, like, I do everything I want. I upload it, I hit publish, and bada bing, bada boom, it's out there, right? Same thing with blog posts. And all right, anyways, sorry, I'm totally rambling on about a bunch of random stuff, but essentially what I mean to say is this: attempt great things which require your own skill, which in your sphere of competence. Keep hustling, don't give up. Know that you're capable of achieving really, truly, really, really great things. Compete against yourself. Don't avoid pain. Attempt great things and know that there is a difference between bad pain and good pain, and this is something for you to figure out. And to realize, on the road to greatness, you will also, you know, experience epic pain. But seek the good pain, keep striving to push yourself to the next level, and see what you're made of. Thanks a lot for watching, guys. Peace out.